Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Razia, and I am delighted to join you once again on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a while, and, you know, I really don't really like to come on unless I've been given a word from the Lord or something that He'd like for me to share with the people of God. So basically, like, you won't see me every week, but I will be posting in advance so that you'll know when I'm coming on. But today, it's a topic that has been visited before in other radio shows or other discussions, but God really wants me to bring it home, to enlighten you, the believer, about what's really going on in the body of Christ. But before we do that, we're going to go into prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for the privilege of coming before your people. Lord, I take it not lightly nor for granted, Father God, to speak unto your people, not mine, but your people. And I thank you, Lord God, that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit, I thank you for going before me, preparing a way. Father, I thank you, Father God, for binding and restraining any distractions, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that there will be no backlash, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and that this message will penetrate the hearts of your children, for they will understand the difference between having a relationship with you versus religion with men. And, Lord God, we just want to bless you today. We want to thank you. We want to give you the honor and the glory. We want to thank you for being the allowing us to be the head and not the tail, for being above and not beneath. We want to thank you for not leaving us where you found us. Holy Spirit, thank you for sitting right here beside me. It is your voice, it is your spirit that will be speaking tonight. I am just a vessel that's being used. Thank you for the honor and the privilege. Thank you for a relationship. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I just want to talk to you today. I just want to talk to you about this thing called religion versus relationship. Religion versus relationship. The reason this topic is important is so many have become disillusioned with the church. So many. They love God, but they no longer advocate for the things the church has to offer. I'll say that again. They love God, but they no longer advocate for the things the church has to offer. That's one set of people. The other set of people are people who simulate God with the church and have turned their back on God completely because of what goes on in the physical building. I'll say that again. I'm speaking to two sets of people, the people that love God but no longer advocate for what's going on in the church or what the church has to offer, and the people who assimilate God, that God and church or religion are one and the same, and have turned away from God completely. Let's deal with this demon called religion. Because that's exactly what it is. It's a demon that separates, not brings together. It's a demon that has its own classism in the church. Yes, there's classism in the church. There are those that have high positions in the church, and there are those that don't, that are looked upon as those that need the help of the haves. So there's the haves and the have-nots even in the church. The church has a caste system. And you are actually relegated to being blessed based upon the amount of money that you have to contribute to the building. If your money is small, generally your position is small. If your money is small, you are generally overlooked. If your money is small, you are looked down upon. If your money is small, you are deemed to not even have an anointing. That's what religion tells you. It's got a caste system. It divides instead of bringing together. It puts, now I'm not talking about God, because God says he's come. He will come to, you know, to deal with and separate mother and father and sister and brother. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what goes on in the physical building. What goes on in the physical building is that you, woman of God, have made this man your God. You actually have made this man of God in a higher position than the man you actually married. He was good enough for you then. He was good enough for you to marry. He was good enough for you to come in covenant with. But once you got in the church, you gave the pastor, the bishop, the apostle more voice in your life than your own husband. That's out of order. The man is the priest of his home. Unless he's ungodly, unless he's just out there in the world and you're just saying, I can't live, I can't listen to him because he's not living for God, he's doing everything opposite that you want to do, that's another dynamic. I'm talking about a man that does love God. I'm talking about a man that has a prayer life. I'm talking about a man that's praying for you, but yet you have given this other man power over your home. And you have given him precedence to speak in your life over your husband. Woman of God, that's out of order. That is a religious spirit that you have allowed to creep in your house. It's a religious spirit that comes with a sense of piety. It's a religious spirit that is a snake that has withered its way into your house. Because remember, I just said that the religious thing called the church has now become a Babylonian demon. A demon that's coming to sift you as wheat. After it's got all it wants from you, your gifts, your talent, your anointing. Now, listen, hear me. I just heard the Holy Ghost say, clarify. I'm clarifying because not all churches are like this. No, they aren't. So if you're listening to me and you're in a church and then it seems to be what God is sovereign and you have praise and worship and you have hours of praying and interceding and you're actually before the Lord and all these sorts of things, and God is giving you download, God is giving you revelation, God is calling you to love on people instead of judge on people, God, you keeping it in perspective that you are not God, that you are, there's still a man over you called Jehovah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. If you are in line with that, I'm not talking to you. So don't get all, as my ex-fiance would say, don't get your panties in a wad. What I'm talking about here is that there's something called a demon called the church. That physical building, that place you go into. Now, you say now, you say now, she's a minister. Has she backslidden? Oh, my dear, no, I have not. I have been in the face of the Lord for many months. For many months, I have been in the face before the Lord. Not that I have to prove anything to you, but yes, I get up in the midnight hour, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I get the rhema words from God in the midnight hours when he wakes you up to give you instructions. Many in the body of Christ are not even doing that. The Holy Spirit is seeking a person that he can work through, just like a needs a disembodied body to carry out its mission. The Holy Spirit of God needs a body to carry out its mission. But yet it gently wakes you up in the morning, 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock, and we turn over and say, oh, it's not time yet. It's not time for me to go to work. When the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm trying to get you to pray because there's an accident down the road concerning your family member. I'm trying to get you to intercede because an illness is trying to come upon you, and I need to get you in a place, in a position to seek the Father, to counsel us. But Lord God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, we're thanking God that there are those out there has come to the revelation that church and religion are not the same. Church and religion are not the same. There's a remnant out there, one that has not bowed down to religion. Or if you have bowed down initially, the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart and said, this is not my Father's will. This is not how my Father would have conducted this conversation, or this is not how my Father would have handled things in the body of Christ. This is not my Father. What we have made, and I have not heard anybody preach on this, is your revelation, man of God. What was the thing that angered God, Jesus, excuse me? What was the thing that angered Jesus when he went into the temple? What was the thing that caused him to go in and turn over tables and turn over the things that were being sold in the temple? Are we not doing this? You may say, well, that's minor. We've got souls and everything at stake. But hear me in the Holy Ghost. Hear me. Are we not selling books? Are we not selling T-shirts? Are we not selling our CDs? Are we not selling all sorts of things in the body of Christ, the very thing that Jesus said, do not make my house, my temple, my body, a den of thieves? It's supposed to be a house of what? Prayer. The very thing that angered Jesus, we are now doing in our churches, our temples, our synagogues, the very thing that angered Jesus. Instead of bringing people to Christ, the church is running them off. The physical building is running them off. And all we want to say is, I need a body to fill the seat because I have to pay these bills. What happened to the compassion of Christ? What happened to the love of Christ? What happened to just wanting to see a soul saved? What happened to that? What happened to that in the body of Christ? We've become just a set of rules and regulations. We've become a set of rules and regulations where what started out as a noble idea has matriculated into a money-making machine, a doctrine of do's and don'ts, money-hungry, cold, lack of compassion, vain, prideful, and judgmental. This is what we've become, some of us. This is what we've become. There's a rare church out there. There's a rare physical building out there that's sold out for God. That's sold out for God. That's sold out. That's rare. That's rare. That's what religion will do for you. Where religion will entertain you. But religion won't bring the fire to you. Religion no longer preaches that there is a heaven or a hell. That's not theoretically sound. That's not something that theology wants to deal with now. We actually want to relegate it to, well, it was in the non-Canaan. It's not in the Canaan book. So therefore, we're going to exclude it. Oh, but my brothers and sisters. Oh, my brothers and sisters. I've got to let you know that there is a God. There is a God that's actually, and there is a hell. And it's very real. Some people say, well, there's hell here on earth. Well, I hope, you know, if that's the case for you, that when at your eternity, you find out differently. I hope you don't find out differently. Excuse me. But I would rather be a believer of that there is one and keep myself fresh before the Lord. Keep myself seeking his face and not just his hand. Keep myself trying to be right versus trying to be right in someone else's eyes. I want to be right when no one else is looking. I want to be right when I think that I'm by myself. I want to be right when I'm just, having these thoughts and I don't know what to do. I want to be right at all times. The Bible says that we will stumble and fall. Yes, it does. The Bible says that. But nevertheless, it said he will deliver us out of them all. There are diverse temptations out there. Yes, they are. But you need to resolve that I will not allow a man or a woman, whoever the pastor, preacher, bishop, apostle is, to deter me from my relationship with God the Father. Please don't allow that to happen. That was not God's intent. That was not God's instruction to his disciples. He said, go ye in all the world and teach all nations. That's what he said. He didn't just say teach some. He didn't just say teach the rich. He didn't just say teach the poor. He said, go in ye in all the world and teach all nations. That's what he said. So glory to God, we bless God today. We bless him for the revelation that he is not a God of religion. As a matter of fact, he hated that. He doesn't like those traditional things. How can the Holy Spirit move? How can the Holy Spirit have free reign when you already prescripted how the service is supposed to go? How is the Holy Spirit able to move, to heal, deliver, and set free when he's been put in chains, bound by time? How is he able to do that? That's not having a relationship with God. That's a scripted program in the guise of having church. That's what it is. My brothers and sisters, having a relationship with God requires complete surrender. Complete surrender. Yes, it's a yes, and the yes is through the marrow of your bones. It's not a yes because I want to get out of my stuff. It's not a yes because I tried everything else. Well, yeah, some people come to God for that. They tried everything else and then they give God a yes. But really, the yes is because I want to serve. I want to serve. That's another difference with having a relationship and a relationship versus religion. A relationship serves. Religion is being served. You serve me because of my title. You serve me because of my position. You serve me because I have arrived. That's religion. Relationship says, humble thyself. Humble thyself. Humble thyself, for you are a servant of the Most High God. Humble thyself. Another difference. Another difference is you are led by the Holy Spirit versus your mind. You're led by the Holy Spirit versus your mind. You're led by the Holy Spirit versus your flesh. The mind brings about a humanistic view of who God is. That's a humanistic view instead of the true view of who God is. Why do you think all the religious doctrines were created? They were trying to figure out God. They were trying to figure him out. They were trying to explain how he would do things. So therefore, the Martin Luther's come and the King James, all of these people come. You the Presbyterians, you got the Christians, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Baha. You got all of these religions and all of these doctrines trying to explain God and giving people a set of rules and regulations on how they should conduct themselves in the building. But my brothers and sisters, without the Holy Spirit, you will continually run amok. You will continually get it wrong because the Holy Spirit is the one that brings the truth and the light. He is the great teacher. That's the only truth you're going to get. It's from the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit of God says, love thy brother. I got this. If they need to be corrected, I got this. I got this. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, humble thyself. The Word of God says, leave your alms at the altar and go get it right with your brother or your sister. That's what the Word of God says. Now, I know there are instances where you've tried and tried and tried. Well, hey, shake the dust because you've done what was required of you as a servant of the Most High God. as I ministered to the other night about the flesh. That's the mold. That's the KGB agent that's walking around with us from the time we entered the earth. Its design is to get you off purpose, to get you off course, to get you thinking all about flesh, how to appease the flesh, how to get flesh not to cry, how to get flesh not to be in pain, how to let flesh get its way, how to let flesh rationalize, okay, why that this isn't that isn't this, and this isn't that. Flesh is running amok in our society. But when you have a relationship with God, there's a steadfastness about you. There's a steadfastness about you that, yeah, everybody else may be doing one thing, but I have to do another. I'm sorry. He said trials and tribulations we shall have. He said, but he would deliver us out of them all. He also said, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but he also said joy cometh in the morning. He also said the world was going to hate us because it hated him. So why are we so surprised when people don't like us? Why are we so surprised when you show up on the scene and the light of God in you has shown up the darkness in someone else and they are repulsed and they are repelled at your light that's so bright that they don't want to have anything to do with you, but yet you're suffering from the spirit of rejection, but your light is bright. Your light is bright. And you're thinking they're rejecting you for some other reason. But honey, it's different than that. It's deeper than that. Your light is bright, and you have just exposed darkness. Do you think darkness wants to be uncovered? Do you think darkness wants to be unveiled? Do you think darkness wants to be exposed? No, it does not. No, it does not. So therefore, you in your flesh, because you house the Holy Spirit, have been rejected, not because of anything else, but because the kingdom of darkness rules that person and it wants to expel you. It doesn't want to have anything to do with you. But you've internalized. You've internalized. So my brothers and sisters, do not run away from having a relationship with God. Do not run from having the relationship with him one-on-one. Give no one else that much power or authority over you that will make you turn your back on God the Father, the one that has saved your life time and time again, the one that has gotten you out of some messes, the one that got you out of that abusive relationship, the one that saved your life when you should have been dead, when you tried to commit suicide by taking all those pills, or when you put that gun to your head, or when you were at the grocery store, or when you were at the shopping mall and the bomb went off and you just left, but God spared your life, or the plane went down, but you didn't catch it because you were late that day. Come on, somebody. God has saved you from so many things, and you allow a man, a mere man, created by God, to turn you from having a relationship from him. How superficial is that? That means you gave that man or that woman too much power. You gave them too much power over your life. If you can turn away from God because of a person in a building, that means you have made that place person God in your life. In your life. Come on. He has done too much for you for you to turn your back. Turn your back on the building all you want to, but do not turn your back on the one that delivered you, saved you, set you free, gave his only begotten son so that we are not separated from him and his kingdom. He gave everything so that we were redeemed. And you let a creation, not the creator, a creation of God, turn you away from him. Come on, somebody. That's what religion does. That's what religion does. But having a relationship with God, I'm telling you, I look forward to Holy Spirit when you knock on my door. What do you want to show me today? When you knock on my door at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, what are you wanting to show me today? What is it I can do for you? What is it I can do for you today? Here I am. Here I am. You need a body to you? Okay. Here I am. Am I going to like everything you tell me to do? Uh-uh. But nevertheless, obedience is better than sacrifice. Is it going to be clean? wherever you tell me to go. But I know the angels of the Lord are with me to protect me and keep me from all harm. If you tell me to go somewhere, I have to go. I have to go. I would rather have man upset with me than God. Are you of the same mindset? That's having a relationship with him. When you have a relationship with your spouse or your significant other, don't you want to please them? After you've been with them quite a while, don't you know what upsets them? I mean, do you intentionally want to make your significant other angry? Do you continually want to disappoint your significant other? No. No one wants to do that. No one wants to do that. Not even in natural relationships do you want to continue to make them upset and angry and make them sad and just take from them. Only take, 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 not giving. There's no exchange of giving and receiving. You're just taking, 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 taking. Who wants to have a relationship like that? Well, that's what we're doing to the Father. That's what we're doing. Our relationship is based upon what can you give me today? What can you give me? What can you do for me? What gifts can you give me? Nevertheless, I don't spend time with you. Nevertheless, I don't pray to you, pray with you long hours. Nevertheless, I don't sit long enough to listen to you. But give me the gift. Give me the gift. Give me the gift. Give me money. Give me healing. This is religious. This is religious, my brothers and sisters. This is religious. But a relationship with the Father will serve. A relationship with the Father will have compassion on his fellow man. A relationship with the Father will cause you to have patience with people. A relationship with the Father will put others before you. The relationship with the Father will cause you to go to the background when you, but by man's standards, because you're so anointed, you need to be in the front. But when you know who you are, and when you know whose you are, you can be in the back or the front. It doesn't matter. You're still a king's kid. You're still a child of God, and you're still bad in the spirit because you spend time with him. When you don't know who you are, you look for validation from outside of yourself. You look for validation from somebody else to let you know you're all right. But all they can see is your exterior. Can they see your heart? All they can see is you from the outside, but they can't see your heart. They can't see that it's black, but you're good on the outside. Honey, you wearing that dress. Honey, your hair is laid. Honey, you got those heels on, honey. You've been working out? Oh, yes, honey, your body is fine. But your heart is black. Men fall for you every day. And women, same thing. You fall for the tall, dark, light skin, whatever he is, handsome, whatever suits your boat. You fall for him every day based upon his looks or based upon his money, based upon what he drives, based upon what he lives in. Baby, how superficial is that? When God says, look on the heart of a man. Look on the heart of the man. He's a dressed-up demon just waiting to get you close enough, waiting for you to get hooked on him, and then he starts beating you on your head, belittling you, talking down to you. Now you are a battered woman because you didn't ask God. God, is he of you? You didn't take the time to say, Father, is this your son? Father, is this your daughter? Or she just looked good if you stop right there. He will bring you in there wearing Michael Kors, Chanel, whatever the latest latest brand is, and you dressed to the nines. They saw you pull up. They saw you pull up in a Lamborghini. They saw you pull up in a Lexus. They saw you pull up in a Mercedes. Oh, they saw you come in with your Louis Vuitton. They saw that. Oh,